And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show for this Wednesday, the 27th of November. It's 3 minutes past nine, just about to turn 4 minutes past nine. Thanks very much for choosing us again this morning. Hopefully we're going to keep you informed and entertained over the next 3 hours. In the first hour, we're going to catch up on some of the big topics of the day, of course, information we need to get out there. And then from 10 to 12, it's our final debate as 20 candidates seek 5 seats in the election on Friday. 62% of us decided to vote last time out 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, in fact. And I just wonder, will it be greater? It's such a privilege to be able to vote, and I hope people exercise that right, because the votes out there that aren't going to be cast, I sort of opined a little bit yesterday on social media, they're the ones that actually could swing it. If you were of the kind that you thought, oh, well, I want that person in, or I don't want that person in, or whichever way it might be, you have to go out and vote to make that difference. A lot of people out there, and maybe many of you will today, haven't received your polling cards. And I think there's quite a bit of confusion out there in relation to that. But just to be very, very clear, you don't need your polling card to vote. You are registered, most likely you are registered to vote. You just go to your polling centre and bring ID with you, and you'll be able to cast your vote then. So you don't need your polling card to vote. I've been inundated, quite literally inundated, by people who have yet to receive their polling card. I don't know what the delay is or what the process is. Some have them, some don't. But I know a lot of people are thinking, because they've said it to me, how can I vote? I don't have a polling card. If you're registered to vote, and the likelihood is that you are, you just need your ID and you go to your local polling centre and you'll be able to cast your vote. It'd be really interesting this time, really interesting to see this time if more than 6 out of 10 people are motivated to even go out and vote. I mean, there's big numbers of people there that could decide who tops the poll. If that 38% decided, right, we're going to vote, we're going to vote for this person, and it could be anybody, they literally could have that person topping the poll. That's the influence that 38% have that may not exercise it. And it's up to each individual. I'm not preaching. I'm just saying. Did you watch the debate last night on RT? Apparently, the sense was is that this could be a game changer. I'm not sure it was. I don't watch many of those national debates, and I was really perplexed at the format of it. Two people asking the questions. Not only was interaction between the candidates not encouraged, it was actually completely and utterly discouraged. And some of the questions, the way they're phrased, and I've been accused of being anti or pro this in the past. I've been accused of being anti and pro everything, so that's all right, right? So you're either doing it right or doing it wrong right across the board. But some of the way the phrase, the questions were structured, and I'm going to say particularly towards Mary Lou McDonald, I thought, were accusational or loaded or even, you know, quite condescending. But what did you think? Who do you think performed well? I think in terms of who performed the best, the strongest, it probably would be Micheál Martin, would it? With Mary Lou McDonald a close second. Simon Harris seemed to struggle for the first half of it to get his point across, seemed to mumble quite a bit. But I don't know, maybe you see it the other way. Maybe you see Simon Harris, who came on strong in the end, maybe he won the debate, or maybe it was Mary Lou McDonald. I don't know, whatever you think. Let us know, 08660 25000. But the RT fixation on, with everything that's going on in the country, the fixation RT has on this proposal within Sinn Féin's manifesto about an independent review of how they cover international affairs, such as the situation in Gaza, has it took up so much of that debate last night. And then this morning, too, there was a leader's sort of interview. And the topic that was spoken about most, with everything that's going on in this country, the topic that was spoken about most was Sinn Féin's proposal for an independent review of RT's coverage of international affairs. That's misusing your platform. I mean, I could go in there after 10 o'clock today and I could start asking questions about Highland Radio, but you wouldn't, would you? Because that's not what's important to the people out there. I just thought it really, really strange. That's as a viewer, to be honest with you. I just was watching and I was like, why are they so obsessed with this scrutiny of RTE? Everyone should be scrutinised if there is a reason to be
scrutinised.
OK, so the general election candidates on our show today, Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil in studio, Thomas Pringle, an independent, in studio as well. Nuala Carr of the Greens will be around the table, as will Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin. Kim McMenamin of the Irish People's Party National Alliance is in studio, as is Eamon McGee, the Irish Freedom Party. We're going to be discussing health, immigration, other issues as well. We've been overwhelmed by the level of contact that we've had, to the point whereby we have actually been overwhelmed emotionally, because we've received thousands of messages, right? But also overwhelmed in terms of translating that great effort of you out there listening into the debates. So we've tried to cover the issues and the points of view in those, but there's so many, the entire 3 hours could have been spent reading messages. So they're all read, they've all been gone through, and we really do appreciate it. And it is formulating what we're talking about and how we're talking about it as well. So it is greatly, greatly appreciated. So thank you very much for that. Okay. Right. One person whose name could have been on the ticket, but isn't, is Councillor Donald Mandy Kelly of Fianna Fáil. Donald, sorry for holding you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Good morning to yourself. Good morning to all your listeners there.
Okay. Any regrets? Would you like to have been around the table one of these days?
Greg, we'll see what the future holds.
Okay.
We'll leave it at that. That's the best of honor, and I wish each and every one on the very best.
We'll leave it at that. Okay. An update on the water situation for those living in the Bonamy, New Mills, Tullagay, Rohan and surrounding areas. We've talked about this in the past. We've talked to concerned residents. Has there been any progress made in relation to this, Donal?
Yeah, that's correct, Greg. Listen, this is an ongoing issue, as you're well aware of, and your listeners are well aware of as well. And we've seen again there last week where these residents were out of water for up to 5 days. Particularly in elevated areas. But listen, Greg, I'm glad to get confirmation yesterday from Ashcairn that they're now in the process of installing a new pump where there is already a pumping station in Rock Hill. So Ashcairn's very confident now that this pump will increase pressure to the elevated areas once it's installed. And they're confident that this pump will be installed now on this side of Christmas. So listen, it's great news, it's very welcome news, and I suppose it is a medium-term solution, Greg, but it's something that I had pushed from day one, was to experiment this, put in a pump, because it was my opinion that it would work, and I'm glad that Ashcairn's come back now to tell me that they're confident now from all the analysis they've carried out, that it's all pointing to the pump will keep the pressure up in these areas. But as I say, this is I suppose a mid-term solution, Greg, but a permanent solution here is to upgrade the infrastructure, and we need a bigger reservoir and RAN also. But listen, Ashcairn have assured me that they are looking at all options, and that this is still on the table going forward.
They also located a leak in the Old Town area and are either have or are going to repair that. Do they believe that will also help in increasing pressure to the areas that we've mentioned, or is that a separate issue?
No, that will increase pressure to the areas as well, Greg, and you're correct. There was a major bust there in the Old Town area. That has been repaired yesterday and water restored again. Now, as much as the pump will restore pressure, that they're confident it will to these areas, I suppose it won't alleviate any bust going forward, because as I said, Greg, the long-term solution is that the pipes that's on the ground here are outdated and need to be replaced. So that's something I'll be pushing for. And, you know, I've asked Ashcairn as well to lobby central government for funding to implement this as quickly and as soon as possible going forward. Because, you know, we have the developments there as well, Greg, coming in Ballymacool and the Old Town. And, you know, I welcome them developments. But it's important before there's any developments in them areas that we have the infrastructure in place, an adequate water supply and our sewage. So that's something I'm eager to have in place, because the last thing I want to see is development start in them areas and build on top of a problem that's already there. We have to solve the problems in these areas first before we start developments. And listen, thankfully, there's a bit of progress now. Ashcairn is fully aware of this, and I must commend as well Donegal County Council and our housing authority and executives there as well, that are pushing very hard on this as well, because they understand where I'm coming from. They understand what the residents is going through. And, you know, none of us want to see this. We want the positive and the best outcome going forward.
I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but why change the habit of a lifetime? Is there any concern that the increased water pressure between the pump and the likes of Bonamy, for an example, that it might put pressure on that network, you know, as I say, between the new pump and the higher residents, potentially triggering leaks? Or can we be confident that that old network is capable of taking this higher pressure?
Yeah, well, I suppose, Greg, I have to take my confidence from what us Jairns tell me, and what they're telling me is they are confident. Now, they have expressed it very clear that it won't improve the buster leakages in the area, but it will improve water pressure. You know, they are aware that the pipes are outdated and need replaced, but, you know, they are looking down the line as well, Greg. I've made aware of taking another feed line in there as well, maybe down the line, hopefully from the lilies or coming in from the Nishone line there as well. And that will increase more pressure on there as well and take a more adequate water supply. But, you know, I'm glad that these things are being looked into, because this has been on far too long, Greg.
Okay.
I mean, it's not only here and New Mills, Tullygay, Ruthin and surrounding areas, Bamley, but all over the county as well, you know. And, what I recently looked into as well there is that there's a 37% leakage in infrastructure in Donegal. You know, and that for me in itself speaks volumes that we need to be funded here, and funded very strongly from central government to get on top of this throughout the entire county going forward.
Yeah, and a million houses could be promised for in and around Letterkenny, but if there's not a proper sewage and water infrastructure that can accommodate that growth, then those houses can't be delivered. So infrastructure critical. Thank you very much indeed. That's Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly there. And I know our loyal listeners in the Bonamy, New Mills, Tullygay, Rohan and surrounding areas will keep us up to date in terms of progress. That new pump supposedly to be installed before Christmas. I'll watch on with interest to get updates from you guys out there as we've spoken in the past. Right. Hello, says a listener. Hello. Can I ask, what do you do if you haven't received your voting card in the post? Thanks, Greg. Well, I reference this. You should. It's crazy that we're not receiving these. But you can go. You will be registered to vote. You can check the registry if you have any doubt whatsoever. Just check the register. .ie, if you have access to the internet, you'll see that you are registered to vote. Then just take any form of ID to your local voting centre, the one to which you're associated with, and you can vote without a polling card. You can vote without a polling card. I'm quite troubled that it's Wednesday and there are people today without polling cards. That's a problem. Hi, Greg. If you use a pen on a ballot paper, will it be classified as spoilt? No, it won't. You can use your pen. I think this comes back from something that was said years ago. I'm not sure. It comes up from time to time that, you know, they want you to use a pencil so they can, you know, they can rub it out and remark it and fix the elections and stuff. And it was sort of put at that point that you can't use a pen. Of course you can use a pen. If you are voting down, you don't have to vote 1 to 20, by the way. You can do if you wish. You can vote for one person or you can vote for five. The critical thing is to clearly write one, that's the number one person you're voting for, number two, your second preferred candidate, number three, your third, fourth and fifth. You can go all the way down to 20, you can stop at one, you can stop at three, you can stop at six, and so on and so forth. Just make sure that you keep it as best as you can within the box and that a one doesn't look like a seven. Because, you know, those types of things. So what ends up happening then is that... they start scrutinising them and they say, well, there's two sevens there. And they go, no, that's a one. And it can lead to your vote being disputed or not counted. So use numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to 20 if you wish. But number one, who you want to see elected first. Number two, a person that is your second favourite. Three and so on. You can use a pencil. You can use a pen. There is no issue there in that regard. Let me see. It's very important to emphasise the fact that a polling card is not needed, says a listener. Many people may not attend polling stations if they didn't receive a polling card, and that would be unfortunate. Another, the polling cards are with Unpost. It's their problem. No manpower. Okay, I'm getting letters delivered, but, you know, not some people are getting letters delivered, but the polling card's not in there. But just to reiterate, if you've any doubts, maybe you're shy about turning up to vote if you haven't got your polling card, because what if I'm not on the register? Check the register.ie. You can find out immediately where that you are registered. You just take your driving license or your passport or whatever you want to do, and you can vote. You do not need your polling card to vote. If there's any other concerns or questions in relation to that, we'll try and get answers for you, because we want to make sure that we all exercise our right to vote as best as possible, and that those who don't vote are doing so because they don't want to, right? Not because they feel they can't or they don't have the polling card, if that makes sense. I can't emphasise enough, there's 38% of people didn't vote last time out. That's enough to elect a candidate easily. Easily. Anyone that you wanted, if you decided to. Right, OK, we'll be back with more. In fact, Peter will be joining us after this short break. Peter, sorry for holding you. Good morning to you.
Yeah, Grant, yeah, you're okay.
You've experience of water repairs, water bursts. You've been on both ends, fixing and receiving the problems.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What's your observations?
Well, like, we were doing in Northern Ireland for NI Water, like, and I was privatised, like, so subcontractor, but we had a six-hour response. So as soon as the burst comes out, you were doing jobs as well, probably during the day sometimes. So say if a job came in that you were at it and wasn't important, well, like, it was a six-hour response. Bursts were priority, like, and there was three gangs, say, like, a 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
You had three gangs on. Say if one was tied up, well, number two could have went to it, but there was no, like, bursts were priority. Like, we were called there at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. That was just priority, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that was 365 days a year?
Yes, every. You were 3 weekends on, 3 weekends off. So, you know, that's the way it worked. Come round to your time, you were number one. Next guy was number two. Next guy was number three. And, like, we had a burst ourselves outside our house in Donegal. I live in Donegal. Like, mm-hmm. And the burst was off. I wasn't there. And since it was a Sunday, the guy says, the wife says, oh, he says, the water's offices, we saw when we fixed that probably tomorrow. This was Monday. So she says, the husband, he would go out there. And he says, no, he wouldn't get them boys out today. And that's basically what you're up against, like, you know. So, like, it should be something like that. It's just an idea to say, you know, it works there. You know, within 6 hours, like, sometimes you could have fixed it within a couple of hours, but you have a six-hour response to get to that priority. And if number one's tied up, number two's called out of the house to go and fix the next one. That's the way it works, like. And it's a good system.
Makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. Listen, thanks for the insight, Peter. I don't think that's how it works in the Republic, but we'll check it out. Thank you very much indeed. I do appreciate it. A couple of things I want to mention, and I'm very excited to be going to the Purple Tie Gala Ball. It's at Jackson's Hotel Conference and Leisure. It's a beautiful venue. But it's the Blue Stack Foundation annual fully inclusive Purple Tie Gala Ball. It's on. It starts at 6 p.m. on Saturday, the 14th of December. Master of Ceremonies is the one and only Mr. Noel Cunningham. There's a drinks reception, dinner, live band, disco, and raffle, and there are still some tickets available. As I say, in the past, I really wanted to get to this, but things contrived that I couldn't, but I'm delighted that we got tickets and we're going along, and hopefully you will too. Tickets are €60 for a brilliant night out. It's €35 for people with additional needs, 16+. So that's the Blue Stack Foundation, Donegal's annual fully inclusive Purple Tie Gala Ball. It's in Jackson's Hotel Conference and Leisure in Ballybuffet on the 14th of December. If you want to get a ticket and go along to that, and why wouldn't you, and support the Blue Stack Foundation, you can go online to bluestackfoundation.com or call 074-974-0828. Contact us if you want those details. It's going to be a cracking night. Really looking forward to it. Now, also, it's become part of our December as well, and that is the Michael and Mary Wierski House Christmas display. The switching on of their Christmas lights display takes place on Saturday, the 30th of November. Santa's going to be there, of course. Ollie's also going to be there. It's at 7:30 p.m. So this is Saturday, the 30th of November. Carol's singing from 7 p.m. So really, if you're going, well, when will the Christmas start? Well, don't wait for the toy show halfway through December. Why not get along to Wierski's? It's Carol singing from 7 p.m. All are welcome, and all proceeds, you make a donation if you wish, all proceeds are in aid of Cancer Care West. So that's the Wierski Christmas lights at Kerrykeel going on Saturday, the 30th of November at 7:30 p.m. Some of your comments here: beware, voting cards could be mixed in with candidates' literature that you've thrown in the bin or the fire. I nearly done this the other day. Yeah, indeed. Micheál Martin stated last night that no member of his party ever carried a Garda murderer shoulder high when he was released from prison. I'm sorry that the presenter didn't ask Mary Lou what her party's view was on hero worshipping of Garda murderers. It was a misused opportunity to demonstrate if there is a sinister mask disguising the real Sinn Féin. It's something the voters are entitled to know. But again, I can't speak on behalf of any particular party, but... there's no secret to that. One of the TDs, in fact, it was referenced, one of the TDs, Sinn Féin TDs, picked someone up from prison along those lines. So I thought it was referenced, to be honest with you, in the story, funeral and what have you. Greg, I still get a voting card to my parents' house that I haven't lived in for multiple years. This time my brother got two to our parents' house, despite living down the country for the past 25 years. So I could vote twice and he could vote three times. I don't think you could, because... But anyway, maybe you could. It is kind of our responsibility to update the register, though. So you can go to checktheregister.ie and change your address. And it means they don't know where to send the card, you see, unless you tell them, as far as I'm aware. There's a burst mains in Falkara area. Staff are on the way to fix it. Councillor Michael McClafferty has just told us. Hi, Greg. I travelled from Milford yesterday at 4 p.m. and it was 10 past 5 before I got to the bottom of Lurgy Brack. It's just unbelievable. The continuous treatment of, I had to come in that way today, and it takes so long. And they're actually talking of narrowing the road outside, effectively outside Screwfix, between Screwfix and the hotel, Mount Errigal, to two lanes. It's three at the moment, isn't it? Down to two lanes. Is that going to make it even worse? Because there's also two sets of traffic lights going in there. Maybe it will improve things. We shall wait and see. The continuous treatment of Sinn Féin by RTE is exactly why an independent review is required. Look at the bottom line is Marilyn McDonald has said the review is to do with the coverage of international affairs. Is it really? I mean, you know, there is certainly any observer would know. I come in here and I do a program, but I'm a radio listener, a news follower, and it's clear. Where it's clear sometimes where the coverage is going, right? But anyway, whatever the motivations are, we'll see. It is something that's bothering RTE, because as I say this morning, half of the interview was taken up defending RTE's record, and much of the debate last night. The first thing with housing, homelessness, immigration, migration, everything that's going on in this country, and the first thing they started with last night was why you're having to go RTE, which I thought was, I don't know who came up with it, but anyway. Right, I'm going to be joined by a very special guest after these. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme, and I'm delighted to welcome onto it Olympic Team Manager Ireland, Teresa McDade. Good morning to you, Teresa. Thanks for taking the call this morning. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to everybody. I'm very well. I've just come back from a walk there now, and it was just a glorious morning and the sun was out and the frosty air, so I'm ready for the day.
Way to make me feel lazy. listen, congratulations, because I think it's a lovely honour that you're going to receive, and well deserved. It's a civic reception from Donegal County Council for your role in athletics locally and with Ireland. It's a mayor's reception stroke civil reception. How does it make you feel? It's lovely, isn't it? Are you the type that can enjoy it and say, bring it on?
No, I'm totally out of my comfort zone. For anybody that knows me, I don't like fuss. I just like to get on with what I do. I'm definitely a doer rather than everything else. But in fairness, I'm absolutely delighted and honoured about it. And, you know, actually, it's actually been quite lovely, because particularly in sport, we don't often reflect or get a chance to reflect or take that time. And this has actually made me reflect on even where I've come from and where I started and how I got to this point, and remembering and all the people that helped you along the way and role models that you didn't even know were role models. So it's been fantastic from that point of view, as well, obviously, as grateful of receiving such an honour.
Yeah, and you described yourself as a doer, and you'd have to be really okay. So obviously, you know, we've spoken to you through the high profile stuff, you know, where you've your reputation is such that you're Olympic Team Ireland manager, you're in Tokyo, you're in Paris, and all that type of stuff. But I think where the doer stuff probably is born is it's in the, you know, maybe the cold, frosty mornings out working at grassroots, you know, spotting that talent, nurturing it, bringing people through. The stuff where there's just you and a few athletes standing about the place, you know, there's no glitz, there's no glamour, it's just hard graft.
No, and I think that's there's often a perception there that international sport or international athletics is very glamorous. And when you're stuck at an airport for 7 or 8 hours and trying to manage people around you, it's often not very glamorous. And a former lifetime, I worked in Letterkenny General, and I often talk about like a warm-up area and a track and that sort of kind of, it's very much like A&E department on a Saturday night. There's blood, sweat and tears and maybe the odd row, and certainly an issue that has to be resolved. But for me, it's, listen, bring it on. Absolutely, I'm in my element when I'm there.
What have been some of the highlights for you? I mean, I suppose, you know, you've got so much to draw on, but over your career to date, you know, are the highlights obvious ones, or is there other stuff that, you know, if you were writing your memoirs, would get a chapter that people might not expect?
Well, I suppose from a coaching point of view, you know, before I came into team management, certainly there's a lot of highlights there in terms of, and particularly around, you know, coaching. You know, if you show interest in young people, it's amazing what will happen. And I suppose out of Letterkenny a number of years ago, we produced, you know, 5 or 6 kids that went on to run and still continue to be involved, including the likes of Mark English. But it was, you know, it always will be that sort of kind of, you know, they all lived within a stone throw of one another. And yet in this one area, this amazing group of kids come out of it. So, you know, certainly from a coaching point of view, that'll always be. And I think that, you know, coaching and being a coach is something that I bring to team management and as my mainstay and that kind of athlete focus. But for this summer, and funny, I've reflected recently on, you know, certainly been in the likes of the Bahamas and Rome and Paris and places like that. It's been fantastic. But Ciara McGeehan in Rome and that sort of kind of, and I've known Ciara McGeehan since she was 15. And for anybody that knows Ciara, she's just an unbelievable personality. And just that moment, actually, and I can just picture just that moment as she came into the home straight and she was waiting for the gap to open. And she just had that wee smile to herself and she thought, I have this. And everything else was amazing after that sort of thing. Like, so that's certainly one that jumps out of my mind. And again, I think I have to mention the likes of Fionnuala McCormick of Fionnuala Britain. Again, somebody that I've known since she was a very young girl. You know, to be at the Olympics for 5 times is just, you know, we kind of accept it. But when you think about it, wow, that's
well,
just
once
amazing.
Is pretty impressive, isn't it? You know what I mean? I think you're in a very small group of people that do these things once, let alone 2, 3, 4 and 5 times. It is astonishing, really, through the likes of yourself and others who, you know, were there. In some cases, with the establishment of clubs, the battles for facilities and what have you, you know, other competing sports such as GAA, rugby, whatever it might be, because we don't know how many Mark Englishes fell through the gaps, for example, because they didn't engage with the likes of yourself or others, right? That you recognised the talent, worked with them, brought them through, and they were able to go on and to achieve such great things. And it has to come down to the individuals as well, because it doesn't make sense that we can produce so many quality athletes from such a small pool of people. So, you know, it has to prove how good the likes of yourself and the other brilliant names that we've had involved in athletes and still in athletics and still do, the effort to bring them through and give them the opportunities and give them the coaching and the motivation and for them to maximise their potentials.
Yeah, and I think it's something that's just a new sort of thing. Like, and I suppose for me and my background, you know, my parents would have been involved and my father in particular would have been very involved in the community and things like the athletic club. And we had a lot of people started with parents And I suppose we talk now, even within Athletics Ireland, and bringing in a different skill base into a group and whatever. But, you know, community, and I think that's one of the loveliest things about being involved in a more rural community, is community is everything. And it's amazing what people can do when they pull it together, sort of like. But, and again, I think for, you know, again, as a coach and as a team manager, you know, that motivation is there. There's that you want to be... You want to be active, you want to be doing something that you feel that you can leave a legacy to, or that you can get involved in. And and you know, from that point of view, I would always encourage anybody. It starts at a very, you know, I never expected to be team manager at one stage. I just got involved in athletics, and, you know, in the same too with parents. And I would always encourage parents and people to get involved. You know, you don't have to be running the show in any sense, but, you know, getting involved, and that starts you off. And the great thing about all of that, it sucks you in, and it develops you in loads of different ways.
I have no doubt, as much as you inspire the athletes that you've worked with over the years, they inspire you to be a better version of yourself, you know, because that's the type of environment that you're in, aren't they? But sort of maybe outside of that, or in life, or maybe within that, you know, who have been some of your greatest inspirations, or the people that you've looked up to that have driven you on to where you've gotten to now?
Well, again, I feel I'll mention Ciara McGeehan again, and I think if anybody's seen, I was chatting to Ciara on Wednesday at the Athletics Ireland Awards, and she's just such an inspiration, and she had for the second time got in the shape of her life and got injured. And just that, you know, determination and that robustness and that resilience to come. And she's done a couple of media pieces, and I don't know if anybody has seen them, but if you haven't, go and find them, because she's just truly inspirational about how she overcome such a disappointment, and then to come and sort of say, well, I'm going to give it again. I'm going to give it another go. I'm going to get ready for LA. And I just think that's, you know, you can't not be inspired by that, and I suppose that disappointment, and it's what, you know, you're involved with athletes in that and helping them overcome those disappointments at those crucial times, but they go back to the cold light of, you know, day, and realize that they have to look at where they're at. But for me, I often, you know, certainly my own club in Letterkenny have always been very, very supportive. You know, I remember going off to a cross country in Castlefin as a 12-year-old, and it wasn't exactly a very enjoyable experience, I remember. But I do remember the fun we had and the crack we had on the bus going there and coming back, sort of thing like. And and I often refer to there's a lady by the name of Sue McCormick. Like I lived in Glencar, and we had a lot of girls around Glencar that were in athletics, and we affectionately called ourselves the Glencar girls and so on. But the likes of Sue, who I was delighted the club honoured last year with an award, and Sue, God rest her, was just such a, you know, she was a woman ahead of her time, and she would have gathered us all up and got us all involved. And, you know, as I'm older now myself, I look back and think, well, my God, there was a role model for me. And again, for me in my career as athletics, I've often been the only woman, and I've often been that, but yet, you know, there was a role model for me that, you know, I look back on fondly now.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'd love a longer conversation with you down the line, Teresa, but just wanted to acknowledge this wonderful honour from your own county as well. It is a civic reception, a mayor's reception in honour of Teresa McDade. It's in the Letterkenny Public Services Centre at 7 p.m. on Thursday, and no better woman than yourself to receive it. Thanks,
thank
Teresa. It's been lovely
you
having
much.
You on. Take care of yourself. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Take care. Right, okay, Teresa McDade there. Now, just to let you know, our panel is assembling. Our final debate as we head towards the election on Friday takes place just after 10 o'clock. We have Kim McMenamin, the Irish People's Party, Eamon McGee of the Irish Freedom Party, Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin, Nuala Carr of the Greens, Thomas Pringle is an independent, Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil. All will be in studio with us discussing some of the big topics that you might expect, so stay tuned for that. On Business Matters this week, as we won't be able to speak to Chris later, Chris Ashmore speaking with the owner of Tinney's Toys, Liam Tinney, and also the founder of organic wool pillow company Woolo, Michael Burke. So that's available for a pod for you today And it's also on after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday, unless things run into Sunday down at the Aura, will they? Don't think so. I think it's going to take a while to get that last seat filled, but hopefully we'll be out of there by Sunday at 6. Greg, we changed our address 19 years ago. My husband comes here. Mine still goes to the old address. We haven't voted since. It's a problem, isn't it? It's a shame. Ex-husband's voting card still comes to my house. Who to report this to stop it? I'm not quite sure. Is it up to the individual themselves to get it sent somewhere else? Does the politicians think that everyone lives in the town? I hope they know there is people living in the countryside too. I haven't seen one politician in my area. Greg, to fix the water bursts in Donegal, it takes 6 or 7 men to fix the burst, 1 to drive the digger and 5 to watch the other 2 working. This is the sad reality of how they work out here. I think that's cruel. I don't subscribe to that, but listen, that's that caller's point of view. Someone dropped a bank card at Watson's Higher End Atrakenny yesterday. If you were in yesterday and you're missing your card, they have it for you before you cancel everything. The card's in Watson's, right? So if you're in Watson's, you've lost your bank card, or if you're in Watson's, check, you've got your bank card. They have it there for you, by the way, just in case you may start cancelling. Now, major retailers across Britain and Ireland, they're stopped selling alcohol drinks either owned by or associated with Irish MMA star Conor McGregor. The decision by Tesco, Musgrave, Spar, Eurospar, Mace, Launders and XL Stores came after a woman who said McGregor raped her when a civil claim for damages against him. Nikita Hand, who accused the sportsman of raping her in a Dublin hotel in December 2018, won her claim against him for damages in a case at the High Court in Dublin. He says he's going to appeal that. Do we see this very often, that we have such a strong reaction from retailers to take a product off the shelves like this, Katrina?
I don't see it. I don't think we see it very often, Greg. And I suppose the fact that this has been not only a national story, but an international story. And I think what's really key, I suppose, in this case is an appeal by the Rape Crisis Network Ireland on Sunday, who said that anybody who is, you know, retailers who were selling products associated with Conor McGregor should really think about whether they want to be aligned with him. And I think that really put it up to the retailers, put it up to the suppliers, and made the bosses of those companies and the buyers think, you know, had the Rape Crisis Network not said that, I wonder, would they have voluntarily gone and taken them off the shelves? I suspect that would have been far less, that would have been far less likely. But the fact that it was put up to them to say, you know, put your colours to the mast and say whether you endorse this man or not. And they have responded in spades. You know, as you say, you listed out there the Barry Group, Musgraves, Tesco, BWG, and all of the retail brands that are associated with those, Supervalue, Centra, Costcutter, Spar. It really, I mean, it's across the retail network. And it has crossed the channel, as you say, over to Tesco in UK as well. So I don't think we've seen it before. It is, I suppose, a risk of a company aligning with a celebrity. And a celebrity who, you know, in Conor McGregor's case, extremely high profile. So if he does something negative, and which he obviously did, it is extremely high profile for the brands that he is associated with.
Yeah. Now, I've never liked Conor McGregor, to be honest with you. He's assaulted an older gentleman in a pub. He's done other stuff. I wouldn't ever dream of defending him. I just really don't like him. I'm not a big fan of the sport involved in either. But that being said, do companies have to be careful the precedent they're setting here now? Because there will be another controversy. It may not be surrounding Conor McGregor. It may be someone associated with the brand or once removed from a brand. And now they've taken this type of an action, you know, all of a sudden this is the bar for them to be held against. And whilst they had to do something, I wonder, do you think there was any knee-jerk element to this? Or given the severity of the accusations against him, their hands were tied?
Look, you're asking a woman, would anybody, you know, do I believe that they made the right action? I absolutely believe that they took the right action. I think that for someone who lives on reputation and income based on reputation, you know, social media presence and persona, and, you know, someone who's all about the image, but makes money from the image, the way to actually have an effect on a person like that is in their pocket. And that is what's going to happen now. But you raise an interesting point, in that you know, a celebrity or an endorser of any description who is one step removed. And in fact, Conor McGregor is one step removed from some of these brands, because his proper number 12 whiskey, he actually sold out his majority stake of that in 2021. So that brand is damaged, even though it is no longer owned by him, but it is very much associated with him, and he still markets and promotes it, and it trades on his image. But you raise the interesting point, at what point do you, I suppose,
well, to that point, Katrina, what I was thinking of, and this is no disrespect to victims or what have you, does this mean, say, for instance, if these same shops are called to remove certain products from certain parts of Israel and they leave them on their shelves, that in a way that's them sort of, this is what I meant by the bar, you know, that they're in some way saying, well, no, that's all right, but what Conor McGregor did was horrendous. It just, I think going forward, it leaves them in a very sticky wicket. Not questioning for a second whether they should or shouldn't have done it, right? It just leaves them in a very sticky wicket. And I was just thinking of the mass appeals that have been going on for years for certain Israeli products to be boycotted, for an example.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a really fair point. You know, is it a double standard to say that, you know, we will pull everything off the shelves for one assault on one woman, and we see women and children being killed daily in Gaza, and for them to not take action over that? I think it's a really fair point. It's not for me to defend the retailers' decisions either, and I think they will make their decisions on a case-by-case basis, but that's a solid argument for me as well. You know, why pick this one? Is it you know, I don't think it's a spur-of-the-moment decision. I don't think they would make a decision to pull all products related across that many stores in that many locations. That isn't done on a whim.
It isn't done on a whim, but I imagine in terms of their gross sales, this is actually really quite a cheap option for them to do the right thing versus maybe some of the products I would have alluded to. And that's also going to be factored in, isn't it? I mean, if this were, you know, 3% of their revenue, the sales of these products associated with McGregor, the cynic in me wonders, would the decision have been taken so quickly? But anyway, listen, I think most people believe that they did the right thing, Katrina. And if they don't believe they did the right thing, I think people maybe have to look a little bit inwards on this issue.
Yeah, and, you know, he has said that he will appeal it.
Oops, unfortunately, I've lost Katrina. Caroline, you might make contact with Katrina and apologise to me. I just shut the wrong thing down and kicked her out of the room just as she was about to make her final point. My apologies. Just a reminder for you that technically we have to end this stream that you're watching, if you're watching at home or wherever you are, and restart the stream because we move into a different studio for our roundtable debate, our last third of three debates. And we've got an interesting panel again. Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil is with us. Nuala Carr of the Greens is going to be seated around the table, as will Thomas Pringle, who is an independent, Kim McMenamin of the Irish People's Party National Alliance, Eamon McGee of the Irish Freedom Party, and I think I didn't mention Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin. He's also going to be with us, right? So that's your panel. We want for you to continue to keep us so busy on the phone lines. We've received thousands of messages over the last couple of days, either via text, WhatsApp, phone calls, or on our socials. It's been remarkable, the level of interest in this. And again, I just hope it transfers into votes on Friday. What I will say is please keep them coming in to us. Every message is read. We try and formulate questions that encompasses maybe 30 messages at a time. Such is the scale of contact. But it's so important to us that you keep contacting us. Right, okay, I have time actually for a couple of comments here. My daughter went to Australia 14 years ago. I've tried every year to get her off the electoral list. Yippee, finally succeeded this year. She would have been counted with the 40% of non-voters, by the way. She would be fined for not voting in Australia. Really interesting, actually. You know, really, really interesting. I have in the past considered, you know, people that don't vote because they don't get a voting card, but you've just put it straight right into my face there. How many of that 38% that didn't vote in 2020 didn't do so because they didn't think they had a vote? Their vote was going to the wrong place. They were double votes. Really interesting. Also on the surveys, which I find interesting, is the demographic. I think they ring people on... I think they ring people on landlines and on mobile phones, and you do wonder who's inclined to answer the phones, don't you? Is it generational? I wonder, do these polls sort of reflect a certain demographic? And that's why they're not as accurate as maybe they have been in the past. I don't know. Anyway, that's where we leave it for the first hour of the show. We'll be back after 10 with our third debate.